Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's stream. Thank you for being here a little bit earlier than normal. I know that this is not our normal timing, but what's up? I'm Trisha Hirschberger here today with Maud Garrett. How are you, Maud?
Hi. Yeah, thanks, guys. Look, our schedules are all over the place, and we're trying to juggle working and having fun and doing all that jazz. So we really appreciate you guys joining us a little bit earlier. If you are watching us live, if you are, tap that follow button. If you want to subscribe, that would be amazing. Trisha would thank you forever for it. But if you're watching it on Geek Bomb, hey, thank you. Hopefully you've subscribed on that as well. Like, why not? Yeah. Cool. That's all the promo we're going to do for that. We have Power Up and it is a guest episode today. Amy Cassandra Martinez from Geek Bomb will be back running the ship here as well, keeping it tight. But Trisha and I will be your captain. But the guest that we have on, she's fantastic and amazing. I think we've all collectively known her for years now. Mm-hmm. A pop culture and geek culture expert on so many things, and I'm delighted that we have her on the show. Guys, give it up for Wendy.
Wendy! Hi! Oh my gosh, that was quite an intro. Thank you so much, ladies. I'm so happy to be here.
I've never ever learned how to say your last name, and I'm personally embarrassed.
Wait, can I give my best guess?
Go for it.
Wendy Lee Zaney.
Yep, that's it. You just dropped the S. And pronounce the Z.
I've heard it so many times, but then I see it, and the disconnect comes in, and I'm like, ah. But thank you. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, welcome to the show, Wendy. We're so, so happy to have you. Please tell everybody that's watching this live, listening to this later in podcast form, or watching it on Geek Bomb, where they might know you from on the internet if they aren't already huge Wendy fans.
Ooh, okay. Well, you probably know me the most from videos on Collider as well as Sideshow. I think I've been in like one Screen Junkies movie fight that one time and I didn't perform that well, so I just like to forget about it. and then on the Movie Couple YouTube channel.
Yay! Yeah, movie fights. Well,
you've been doing that for a little bit now, right?
The YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been, I think we started it under a different name in 2014, and we kind of tried to do a play off our last name, so it was called, like, Our Zany Life, and then I was kind of looking back at some of the footage, and I was like, we're really, like, 0% zany, so we're changing it.
I mean, you got a little... A little place of zany in there.
I love that. So for people who don't know who your partner is for that, who is your partner for that show?
Oh, his name is Dustin Zaney. We've been together for so long. It's like we're coming up to, I think, I forget now. It's like 10 or 11 years we've been together.
Wow.
He is literally like, if it wasn't for him, I think I would have left California a long time ago.
Whoa.
True story.
Neat.
Yeah. We met, okay, this is going to be super nerdy, but it was one of the first auditions I had when I came to LA. Like, you know, girl with the backpack and all of my clothes in my trunk and a dream. And I went out for this, just a local, you know, audition. It wasn't like theatrical or television or commercial, but it was for like a kid's birthday entertainer. But the catch was that they would perform sword fights as, you know, various characters, as a knight or a princess or a pirate. I was like, I want to be a pirate at a kid's party. So I went and auditioned and I got it. And then literally that following week after I got hired, they're like, hey, we're going to do this huge photo shoot. Just bring whatever costume you have. And I had like very, very limited collection of something like that. So I was kind of trying to gather pieces together. So I walked up to Dustin that night, introduced myself. And I was like, could I borrow this? And he was like, yeah, sure. And he essentially was like, you can borrow anything that's like from my pile. And I just started grabbing stuff. And then from there, we just built our friendship. But at the time we were both seeing somebody else. So it took a while. So we built the friendship first and then we got together.
That's awesome. And you mentioned being on movie fights. I see some people live in chat saying that they were movie fights watchers or maybe still are movie fights watchers. I forget if they're doing it now or it's sporadic or in seasons or something like that. But yes, that show was so stressful. Maud, did you ever do movie fights?
Yeah, I did movie fights, I think, once or twice. And then I did TV fights a few more times than that when they had their subscription service through Roxy. I did a lot of those. But yeah, it is super stressful because you're put on the spot. And usually with these kind of quiz scenarios, it's like, I'll know the information, but when someone's like going, what is the answer to this? I'm like, all I hear is white noise. I can just like, I'm just not, and sometimes you'll get it and sometimes you won't. But I remember being up against Roth, and she was so amazing that when it was time to be like, all right, Maud, it's your turn. I'm like, why would I bother? Like, oh. I think she's already won. So
Roth is incredibly hard to fight against. But I like got over my fear of movie fights because at least the first half of the show, they let you prepare your arguments. But then if you make it into the speed round, it's like, cool. Well, now I've forgotten the name of every actor and every director and every movie that I've ever seen. Thank you so much. But Schmodown is the one that I was like, I can't touch that with a 10-foot pole. That seems so scary to me. Have either of you ever done Schmodown?
I used to be on Schmo's semi-regularly back in 2014. Uh-huh. So I've kind of done a bunch of things through them, but because it was so long ago, I can't even recall.
Wendy, you're shaking your head yes.
If I got a penny for every time somebody asked if the movie couple will compete in the Schmodown, I would not have to worry about finances. But I'm so bad, just like you guys. I love trivia, but I think I love watching it than being in it, because exactly like what Maud said, when somebody is like, what is the answer? You have 5 seconds, and they have the lights on you. There's 8 cameras. There's people going, oh, she doesn't know the answer. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what my name is. I don't know anything. Yeah. And we actually did one, and I did it because it was a free-for-all, and it was a very fun event, and I was helping Christian coordinate it when it was shooting at Collider. He's like, do you want to be a part of it? And he's like, you know, I can always use more participants. And I was like, ah, sure, like, why not? And I happened to, he drew my number, and I was like the very last contestant, and I was like, oh no. And it was after a full day of coordinating, getting people on and off stage, making sure everything ran smoothly. I was just like, in the first answer, I was like, I don't know. I don't know anything. What's my name? What's 2 + 2? And just completely blinked out. So it was humiliating.
That's all fantastic, because we have a pop quiz ready for movies for you guys, if you're ready. All right. Number one, what are the dying words of Charles Foster Kane and Citizen Kane? I don't know either. Who played Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate? I couldn't tell you. No, I just read the answer.
Wait, where are you even getting these questions from right now?
You're so quick on it.
I just Googled it. What was the first feature-length animated movie ever released?
The first what movie?
Yes, Wendy got it right. No, Trisha, you lose. You didn't get it at all. If she got it, you couldn't get it.
I didn't even hear the question.
I'm still yelling. In The Matrix, does Neo take the blue pill or the red pill?
50-50 chance.
He takes the blue pill, right?
I'm going up. It doesn't matter. I heard Trisha say blue, and that was wrong. It's the red pill. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think I made my point.
Yeah. And I've seen The Matrix like 600 times.
I know. Oh, I remember just being in that. I think the other thing that would go through my head is like, oh, God, I look like an idiot. If people are watching this, they must think I'm the biggest idiot ever. And they're like, all right, time's up. What did you get? And I was like, that I'm an idiot.
Now, I've had a conversation about like things similar to this with Jessica Chobot before, and we talked about how like there's a confidence line that you kind of have to get over before you're okay just being like, hey, I don't know that, and that's okay. And I don't know that men feel that pressure in the same way that women do, where you're like, I have to prove that I know everything. Otherwise, people on the internet are going to be like, this girl doesn't know anything. It's either everything or nothing. And there's no in between. And I don't know that my guy friends feel that same pressure. I feel like they can be like, yeah, well, I don't know anything about this, but I know a lot about this, and confidently do that.
Because it's kind of weird, because it's like, if a guy was to be like, you know, if the question was something very specific about Doctor Who, and they go, I don't watch Doctor Who, you know, sometimes the audience would be like, ah, he can't watch everything. But if a woman's like, oh, I've never seen Doctor Who, then it's like, but you called yourself a nerd. You used to know this. Oh, that's called a double standard.
But you get to the point where you're like, no one person's experience can ever compete with the hive mind that is the internet.
Yeah.
So you have to say, like, obviously I have not watched the sheer library of films that everyone watching this video put together has. And that's okay.
Okay.
But I want to say that while I was yelling at you guys in our random pop quiz, they were getting the answer in the chat.
Right, because the internet always gets it.
Yeah. Oh, I just proved the point, though. There you go. It's easy. It's so, so, so easy watching it from the sidelines, being able to have that thought process and not being put on the spot. And yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mr. Pulp Fiction in chat says, I loved the Animatrix, Matrix 4 coming to cinemas in 2022, because we were talking about The Matrix. I just wanted to call that out to say, yes, the Animatrix is amazing. Good taste.
But also, yes. Pulp Fiction said, is the blonde woman originally from United Kingdom? No, you got the answer wrong! You never traveled? Sorry.
Maud is yelling at you in the most loving way possible. Welcome to Power Up, everybody. I'll say that. So, Wendy, what are you up to now? So you're based in Los Angeles, just like Maud and I. How is sheltering in place going for you now that we're 100 plus days in?
Oh my gosh. At first I was like, oh, staying home, work from home, because we had to, you know, transition from office to work from home. I was like, this is going to be easy. And I didn't realize that working from home gave you a lot of distraction and how many trips I would just make into my kitchen for snacks, because I need snacks all day, every day. So now I have tons of boxes of Cheez-Its in my pantry and graham crackers and marshmallows. So once quarantine started, I was like, okay, I don't think I want to go out to the store as much. So we try to limit our trips to the store. We limit our takeout. We do it every now and again just to kind of support the local businesses, because I don't want them to close. But it's few and far between. And I rediscovered my love of cooking. Like, I'm just sitting here. I was like, what can I make today? What can I make tomorrow? So I've been cooking and baking a lot, and just a lot of cuddle time with my dogs, and trying to catch up on my ever-growing list of Audible books and the ever-growing Netflix streaming shows.
Falcor, and what are the dogs' names again?
Falcor and Navi. Navi, not like Avatar. Oh, Navi, right.
Navi. That's why, because I've got Zelda and you've had Navi. We've had that conversation, but for some reason I got stuck on Falcor because I thought that if Zelda was a boy, that was one of the name options. I love that. Should we get into the power portion of Power Up? Or should we start talking about playing?
We definitely can. Thank you so much, Wendy, for joining us so far on the show. It's been lovely having you. And yes, let's go ahead and jump into what Wendy is playing, watching, and reading. Stay tuned, everyone. All right. Thank you, everybody. Folks that are watching this live on Twitch right now have probably realized that follower and sub notifications are not going off as they normally do when I Twitch stream. And that is because we're doing Power Up. And I know there is a command in chat, and some people have been saying in chat that's why the notifications aren't going off. But I like to shout them out in between segments. So here we go. Classy Librarian, thank you so much for resubbing for 67 months.
Holy hell.
Indeed. You're amazing. And you know I heart you so much. Thank you for being such a valued member of this community always. And welcome to the new followers who are here today. John Pierce 23, Daniel Zaked, thank you. Luther is here. Luther Hitchens just subscribed for 4 months. Thank you so much, Luther Hitchens. And Dark Dragonair resubbed for 22 months. Thank you so much. And you guys are all awesome sauce. Thank you so much for being here. And just know that I appreciate you, whether or not the Dragon Rider notification of "we are building an army" is going off every time we have a sub. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Something's happened to my camera.
Your what?
Something's happened to my camera.
Oh, it looks so beautiful.
It looks potato-y again.
It just got a little bit potato-y. What resolution are you sending at? Did you adjust your settings?
Yes, I put it on 720.
It's just going in and out. It seems like it's your local Wi-Fi, but I know your local Wi-Fi is like crazy good.
Yeah. What did I do? Why?
Actually commenting earlier, Maud, on how good your camera looked today.
It was It was fantastic. And then it just went, meh. And I was like, oh, no. And so then I put it onto my laptop camera, and that wasn't even any better either.
Oh, so, and it just got great again.
Okay. All righty. Let's get back into this.
Yes. Okay. Let me queue up some stuff. Hold on. We're almost there. Okay. So,
camera. I ordered another one.
I don't think it's your camera. It might be the building. It might be, like, there's a bunch of things it could be. But anyway, your, I agree. Your camera's alive. It's the only answer, says STS. And TrueScorn just said it's cleared up. We're good. So, Maud, bring us into playing.
I'd love to. Welcome to the playing portion of Power Up. Playing, the P is when we talk about what video games or tabletop games or anything in like that realm of playing that we've been doing lately, because it's a guest episode. We have, we've got Wendy Lee Zaney on, who's going to tell us what she's currently been playing. And it looks like you are in the Animal Crossing little boat.
I am obsessed with the game, and it's, I feel like I'm a late bloomer to it too, because I didn't have enough funding where I feel safe. I could like splurge on a $60 game. So I waited and I waited and I waited. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get it. I think it's time. And I got it. And I have been logging in at least once a day for the past, I think I put in like 60 hours already, which is insane. Whoa. And I realized that yesterday I literally hate every single building that I have placed on my island. So I have spent most of my bells to relocate everything, which I know I'm going to do it again once I get terraforming. But it's just so like relaxing to play, like listen to the little songs and her little footsteps when she, you know, runs around the little island. And I'm so looking forward to being able to get terraforming, because there is just parts of my island and I was like, I don't like this anymore. I want to get rid of it, but I can't yet. So have you guys, do you guys play? I think Trisha plays, right?
I actually don't. Maud is the player out of two of us, because I'm like, if I get Animal Crossing, that's the only game I will play. And, you know, at the time I was like, Final Fantasy VII Remake is the only game I have time for right now. And now I'm starting to play The Last of Us. And, you know, I have other games that I'm like, I need to get to before I decide I want to sink 600 hours into Animal Crossing, because I know if I played this game, I would adore it.
It is good like that. And Wendy hit the nail on the head, where it's just a really relaxing game. And I think the fact that it came out in lockdown meant that the game was so much more successful than it ever could have maybe been, because we're all just looking for that little escape, and it's not super testing. And it's, you know, it's so, so chill. But I have a confession. After about 125 hours-ish, I don't know, I'm going to have to look it up, I have opted out. I am no longer, and I think I unlocked terraforming and I never used it.
Okay.
We actually did a tweet recently. I'm trying to find it. Ah, here it is. Geek Bomb has posted, calling all hashtag Animal Crossing lovers, who's your favorite of the three? And if you liked Tom Nook, you would comment. If you liked Isabel, you would retweet. If you liked Blathers, you would press like. And my response was, I'm commenting not to vote for Tom Nook, but to complain vehemently about all three. Number one, Tom delves in exploration. Number two, Isabel is perhaps the most boring person on the island and could be a Karen in training. And number three, Blathers, I do not want to hear about the things that I bring in for you for free.
Maud, those runts are making you feisty today.
I love it. And
Animal Crossing has crossed the line with me.
So okay. Have you left for good and you're not going to look back, or are you just putting it on hiatus? Because that summer update's coming, Maud. We get to go into the ocean now.
Tell me what's coming in the summer update. As someone that doesn't play, you say go in the ocean, and I'm desperately missing the beach in real life. So
yeah.
Talk to me about it, Wendy.
This is coming on, they said that by July 3rd, we are going to all see this update. And for the first time ever in Animal Crossing, our avatars can go swimming. And so, you know how we have fishing and bug catching and like look for fossils and stuff on the island. Now you can go into the open ocean and dive for little creatures. So you can get starfish and little like spotted eels. And I'm sure you have to kind of follow the same protocol and go back to the museum and give it to Blathers, Maud's favorite character, for free, and where he wants to try to tell you about all the educational stuff about, you know, said creature. And I usually skip. I used to listen all the time. And then after a while, I was like, you know what? I get no benefits from this. Just I'm busy. I can't do this. What else are they doing? You can also get new DIY furniture recipes. So you're going to get a whole mermaid. There's a mermaid dresser. And I saw a sneak peek of a photo where it's just all mermaid like tables and chairs. And I was like, I absolutely need a mermaid room when I get to expand to a mansion. So that's something I'm looking forward to as well.
I just think, I think that it's really a Taipei's favorite kind of game, because I collected all this stuff and I've just dumped it in rooms knowing that one day I'm supposed to organize it all. But I'm like, my bedroom's not even clean. Why the hell would I put effort into this thing to be like organized and clean? So it's like, I have such a that'll do attitude that this game is not beneficial or exciting for me. But have you decked out your place yet? How many levels or how many rooms have you got going, and how have you sorted it?
I have only still one room, so I'm using just little dividers to make it. I kind of was like, how would I want a dream one studio, very expensive apartment, just like you can get in LA, what I want it to look like. So I'm trying to just make it look like it's slightly roomy, and I still kind of hate the layout, but it's fine because I just put in a new kitchenette from the iron kitchen set, and I really, really love it. It's got a cute little sink, and I have a matching cart that goes next to it, so it's like my little kitchenette, if you will, in my house. And then I just realized that when I was looking at it early this morning that I have my desk set up, and from the very beginning of the game till now, I've never had a chair at that desk, so now I'm going to have to go and build a chair so I can have a place to sit.
So question, Wendy, have you ever played The Sims? Were you a Sims player?
I was, once upon a time, yes.
How do you feel like those aspects of Animal Crossing compare to The Sims?
I think with Animal Crossing, one of the things that gets me, it's kind of like, and like a lot of products do with packaging for me, is if it's cute, you slap a cute sticker on it. And then if you want to copy and paste kind of the similar concept of Sims, you got me like on the hook. It's cute. It's got adorable little animals and pastel colors. I'm buying it. With The Sims, I feel like, I don't know, for some reason, I played all the way through, how many are there? Like,
there's four now, but tons of expansion packs for each version.
I think I did one and two. Date. Huh?
Shout out to Hot Date.
Hot Date expansion pack.
That's right.
I put a lot of coins in that vibrating bed. That's all I'll say.
Yes, bring it back. I think I played up to the second one with, and I don't even remember what expansion packs I bought, but I just got, like, I got bored of it. And I worry about the same thing with Animal Crossing because it is quite repetitive. And it's just like I keep owing money, and every time I want to build a new bridge, I have to spend more money and this and that. And I'm funding this entire island, and it's never-ending work. So I worry that the same reason I put down New Leaf and I never looked back will be the same reason I put down Animal Crossing New Horizon. But I'm not at that point yet where I'm still really excited, and I do log in every day to get my little DIY recipe and all that stuff. So
you 100% have another, at least another 100 hours in you. I believe in you and your bells.
Thank you.
As far as Sims go, though, I miss The Sims. I love The Sims. But I love the customizations of it all. So you can actually create people that look like the people that they are representing. I love the fact that you can have the careers. Like at the moment in Animal Crossing, all you are is someone's bitch, like the whole time.
Well, and you mentioned, Maude, that you like have to collect all of the things. So it's not like Sims where you're like, I really want that door, so I'm just going to work to get that door. You have to get everything and then choose where it goes.
Yes, exactly. Huh. And I think the Sims as well is a lot better because it's like if you spend up and buy a coffee machine, you get to use the coffee machine and reap the benefits of the caffeine, you know? So it's like you're working towards something that betters your life.
Got it.
But in Animal Crossing, it's like if you buy a really expensive treadmill, you can't use it. Like, nope. It just sits there. So that reward process for me doesn't quite exist because I think aesthetic isn't enough for me.
I have to gain value. Yeah. I completely understand that. So that's what's been taking up all of your playing time, Wendy?
Yeah, literally, my husband has not been able to get his hands on our Switch. I even told him, I was like, maybe we should think about getting a second one because we have all these other games, and I've literally just been like, it's my Switch right now. You can't have it all day, every day. Like, I hide it. I'm just kind of like, all right, it's here, and I'm going to play it. It's all I do. I did try to kind of expand away from Animal Crossing the other night, and I started a new campaign on Pathfinder with my friends.
Ooh.
So that was fun.
Were you using Roll20?
Into Pathfinder. It's a little scary.
Okay.
I'm so used to D&D.
I've never really understood Pathfinder. Tell us all about that. What was it like? And like, is it a pre-put together game that you just have your characters and insert into it? Or how does it work?
My friend, he is like really into Pathfinder, and he plays on 2E, like the second edition, I guess. So we're playing 1E, and I was like, I don't know what that means, but he's kind of running us through the game, and he bought the book that's like Skulls and Shackles. So we are all pirates. So we just did one night of character building, and I decided I was gonna keep it basic for like my race, and I went human, and then I was like, well, I usually like to play like the character that will tank and first to run in, like the fighter or whatever, because I like to hack and smash things. And this time I was like, I don't know it, so I'm just going to be a more squishy character. And I chose a witch, so she'll put hexes on you and spells. Ooh. And all this and that. The building took, I think we started at 7 and we ended at like 11. And I can't even say my character is completely done. There's so much more. And he sent us over this link and he's like, here's all your spells and your feats and your cantrips. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Uh-huh. And then you're going to have to rest if you want to keep using particular spells and some of the cantrips you can cast as many as you want. But level 1 mm-hmm. and 2, you only have a certain amount that you can use. So you have to be smart with it. I'm playing D&D tonight. Brand Yay! New character. Satine Phoenix is just going to run a one-off for a bunch of us, which I'm thrilled about. She is a level 6 fighter arcane archer, which I've kind of done before, but I love it because combat-wise, they are untouchable. Kasha. Her name's Kasha. She's, yeah, it's like a scout rogue. So excited about it.
Nice. What race mod?
She is a...
she human? No.
High elf?
No, she's a type of elf. What? She's a new... It's like one of the later models, so it's like a newer... Anyway.
Cool.
I'll tell you when I pull it up.
If you get sick of Animal Crossing and want something to play with your husbando, I want to give a quick shout out to Overlord, this board game. So it's being Kickstarted right now. But do either of you play Boss Monster?
No.
So Boss Monster is a tabletop game that I'm obsessed with and have been for a long time. And it was also co-created by someone I used to work with years and years ago, back when I would do trade show spokesmodeling for Mattel. So I would, like, show off toys, kind of like Tom Hanks and Big. That's what I always felt like of that job. But that's something I did for years and years, and I worked for Mattel at Comic-Con and all this stuff. But anyway, one of my old buddies who used to work at Mattel left that job to start a games company and made the game Boss Monster, which is an amazing game. But this is their newest Kickstarter one, and it's in the same fictional universe as Boss Monster. It's called Overlord, a Boss Monster Adventure, and I bring it up because it's 2 to 4 players, and right now Nate and I are having a really hard time finding board games that are 2-player accessible. A lot of them are 3 players and up. So this one is being Kickstarted right now. If anyone's watching this that's a fan of Boss Monster, the game, please go check this out. It's really, really fun. If you go on Kickstarter and search for Overlord, a Boss Monster Adventure, you will find it very easily. But this is like a pre-copy before it's in full production of the game. And it's super addicting. We've played it so many times. And I still don't have my full strategy figured out, which to me is always the sign of a good board game.
Real talk, the monster dude on the front looks like the dad from Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, that's King Croak.
Yeah.
That's King Croak. He's a character from the original Boss Monster. The way the original Boss Monster game works is you have to build like your own video game end boss dungeon. So it's like 2D. So you start with you're the big boss at the end of the level, and then you have to build the level as perilous as you can. So that when heroes come to try to kill you, they have to get all the way through your dungeon and then hurt you as the big bad guy. And so the more perilous you build out your dungeon, etc., the better you'll do in the game. And that game's awesome. And yeah, this is a spin-off of that game. So
wow.
Highly recommend if you're looking for board games.
That's really quick. Awesome. Gacha is a Velena Wood Elf.
Oh.
A Velena. Yeah. Velena, I've never played a Velena before, but now there's like 19 different elves that you can play. So I'm getting involved in that one. Yeah. Thank you for joining us for talking about playing. We're going to do a little section now called Bombs Away Q&A. This is where Amy joins us and she's going to deliver a question for you to answer, Wendy, which can be about almost anything under the geek umbrella. Hi, Yay. Amy.
Hi, hello. So yes, I will be getting a question from Twitch, so get those questions ready. This first one's from our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/geekbomb to make sure that you can get your question in there as well. This one's from Ollie Morrison. He asks, we all love a good snack while watching a movie or playing a game. What's your go-to food of choice?
Ooh.
I mean, you mentioned Cheez-Its earlier. Would it be Cheez-Its?
Oh, yeah. It would 100% be Cheez-Its, but I like also having like a variety. I need a little sweet, a little salty. So today, my palate changes all the time. Today will probably be Cheez-Its and maybe some Chips Ahoy.
Ooh, little sweet, little savory. I like that. Amy, what would your snack of choice be?
What'd you say?
What would your snack of choice be, Amy?
Oh, me?
Yeah, I go through phases as well.
What? Okay, that was really good. Yeah, right now I'm going through a popcorn phase. Yeah, but I don't really care for butter. I want it to taste healthy so I don't feel so bad about eating it. And I do miss going to the movies. Mm. But we have an air popper, so I'm trying to find the best popcorn kernels to use in that because it's smoked in the past. And that's scary. So going through a process. But yeah, I guess popcorn right now. What about you?
For me, I don't like to snack while I'm gaming, mostly because I PC game and I don't want to get like greasy fingers on my keyboard and mouse or get crumbs in anything. But when I watch movies, it's either if I'm watching movies at home, a bowl of ice cream. Or if I am watching movies at the theater, which someday we'll all get to do again, hopefully, I like to get a bucket of popcorn and then I buy a pack of goobers and pour the goobers in the popcorn. It is the best. So goobers, if you haven't had goobers, because I think Maud's making a what the hell are you talking about face. goobers are chocolate covered peanuts. No, goobers.
All through it. Try not to do that.
No, don't put boogers in your popcorn. No, goobers are chocolate-covered peanuts. And so I dump them in my popcorn tub and then mix it all around, and then you get, like, a surprise with each handful. It's very good.
How's a goober different to a peanut M&M?
It doesn't have the hard candy shell. That's the only difference.
It's so true, though.
Oh, goober. A goober's like, you're a loser. You're a goober.
I don't know. They taste amazing. They're way better than... What are the chocolate raisin ones? Raisinettes?
Raisinette.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm looking for a goober and I get a raisinette, I'm a sad girl.
I wouldn't put raisinettes in a popcorn, but I would put, like, Nestle's the Bunch of Crunch. I would put that in my popcorn before.
What's that?
Yeah, that'd be good, too. Ma, do you not buy candy at movie theaters?
We have to take Ma to the movies and buy her all the treats.
I mean, I peanut M&M it in a popcorn from time to time. I kind of have gotten into Sour Patch Candy. That doesn't...
Yes! Yes! Sour candy. Yes. Sour Patch is so good. I'm very excited about that.
Okay, next time we see Maud at a screening, we're all going to collectively buy her some snacks.
Buy her theater snacks. Yeah, like...
Theater snacks.
All of these are common theater snacks.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to add, though, L.A. and I guess a lot of places that are in Texas need to get on with this whole pickles at movie theaters train. Because what? It's not a thing here, obviously.
Pickles at a movie theater?
Yeah. Like pickles. Like, yeah. Yeah.
You can't pickle in public, sweetheart. Like,
oh, heck yes, you can.
You should.
Yes, you most definitely. Disneyland has them. Disneyland has pickles and they're so good. But yeah. Pickles at movie theaters is like a huge thing in Texas. And when we first moved here, I was like, hi, can I have a pickle? And the lady looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, you do not have them?
Okay. Twitch chat disagrees with you, Amy. Twitch chat.
Well, no.
STS yes. says, no, Amy, I think you're wrong. And Nathan says, pickles are nasty as hell. Look, although True Scorn says, deep fried?
Deep fried, like cut like their chippies are great.
Those are good.
You can have pickles any way you want. They're all good.
The pickle looks like a log and I'm chomping on that? Nah.
You can always take a knife, like a plastic knife if you'd like, if it's too much. But it's so good. It is watching trailers and eating a pickle. Oh, you don't even know.
In Australia, we have something that's really typical for movies, but not really here. We have chop tops.
What's that? Do you guys know what a
chop top is?
I think I've heard of it.
An ice cream in a cone that's got the hard chocolate topping.
Like the drumsticks?
Like a drumstick.
But it's like more of a squat little cone and a big actual ice cream instead of like a drumstick-ish.
Oh, I want to try one. That sounds good.
Fill a choc top. That's like...
Choc top.
Choc, yeah.
I would eat that.
I'm going to go to the movies and grab a choc top. All right. Oh.
Choc top. Chop,
chop. Hilarious. I would totally eat that. I don't know that I would have a pickle in a theater, but fried pickled chips I would have in a theater.
Fried pickles, 100%.
Yes.
I'll try.
This next question is from Twitch. The Catnip Ninja asks, what is your ideal VR game? Doesn't have to exist right now.
Ooh.
I'm pretty excited about the new Star Wars ones that you're talking about, Trish.
Oh, they're real good.
Squadron?
Vader Immortal. Mod hasn't played Vader Immortal yet, so I was like, check out Vader Immortal. Yeah, just the VR games.
Yeah, that one's excellent. I remember trying it because somebody had it at work, so I put it on, and then there was like a training section, right, where you can kind of go into and you have your lightsaber and you just lightsaber the little targets. That was quite a workout. I was like sweating when I was done, so I was like, let me just wipe this VR set down before I back to you, so it's not gross.
Yeah, the coolest part of that for me happens right in like the beginning of the game when you're standing there and you're like figuring out how to operate this ship that you're in, and then Vader walks in and you're like, because he's right there and huge, and like it's straight up terrifying and really awesome at the same time.
What's, I'm looking forward to when Star Wars Squadrons come out and it's available to play. Like, the game is supposedly fully playable in VR, and I think that's going to be really amazing when you're a pilot and you can kind of look around and maybe look behind you, kind of like how they do in the movies. You're like, oh my gosh, or, you know, in real life, real pilots.
Or in movies, that's fine too. So yeah, Wendy, do you have like a, what would be your ideal VR experience?
Animal Crossing in VR! Give me the show. We lost Maude because of me. She's like, girl, stop. But can you imagine, like, fishing?
I could punch Isabel.
Exactly. You can try to punch, like, Tom Nook back. Give me my money back.
It's just a super adorable version of VR chat. Have any of you played VR chat? It's basically as close as we currently have to Ready Player One's The Oasis. You just exist in a space that is indefinite with lots of different rooms and places you can go with other actual online players. So your avatar interacts with their avatar. Watch some VR chat streams sometimes. Things get pretty wild.
Oh, hold on. I think I've seen some of this. And like a little kid was like having a real D&M, like a deep and meaningful about his bullying experiences.
Maybe. I have not seen that clip, but I would not be surprised.
And there's like a duck and like another character and like adults trying to like console this guy's like, yeah, but like I get bullied pretty hard. This is what it's like for me. And like, oh, and it was like the most heart melting moment, but like super, super sad as well that he's looking to strangers online to just kind of help him through a really dark time. But he's dressed as Kermit and it's really bad VR.
Oh yeah, you can be a giant chicken avatar if you want. Like right now, VR chat is just super random because people can create rooms. So like the amount of places you can go and things you can do are as vast as the amount of people there are in the world and what their imaginations come up with. So it can end up getting like, I wouldn't necessarily say right now it's appropriate for children in any way because you never know what you're going to find on there or who you're going to encounter on there. But yes, I imagine Animal Crossing VR would just be like super cutesy, streamlined VR chat.
I'll be the first person in line to buy it.
My avatar in VR chat would be a potato because I'm apparently one of those again.
Oh, no.
It's
no,
going in and out. It's not as bad as you think it is. It's not as bad as you think it is. But anyway, thank you, Amy, for giving us the Twitch questions, the Geek Bomber questions. You are the best. We will see you, Amy, in just a little bit. And Wendy, we're going to move into the watching portion of the show so you can tell us all about what you're watching. We'll see you in just a second, everybody. All right.
You just had a bonza moment in the chat just then with subs and stuff.
No way, really?
Yeah, pretty sure. Check it out.
Okay, so let's see. So we've got, thank you for the follow, Captain and Son One. And Ollie Morrison gave out a community gift sub. Yay! David, thank you for the follow. Motown Man resubbed for 20, Motown Man 75 resubbed for 9 months. Thank you so much. And Empty Epicurious, thank you for the follow. So that's what we got. I don't think we got any other big bombs other than that I can see. I don't know what you...
That first one was rad.
What?
That first one that you got, 67 months?
Oh, yeah, that's Classy Librarian. Jenny is the absolute best. She's a mod in my community. Shout out to Jenny for being an awesome human being.
Jenny.
And also, Jenny streams now, so go follow Classy Librarian, y'all. Yeah, Classy Librarian's the absolute best. Oh my gosh, and here's a bomb right now. There's a bomb happening right now. Mod, you willed it into existence.
Yay!
Baralzi, thank you. Baralzi just gifted 10 subs to the community. Thank you so much. So welcome to the Dragon Riders, Boots 33, Icon Lady, LH Sabra, 50 emotes shared as well. Enjoy your new emotes, everybody. Jesus Pie, Zark Nor, Jalen Johnston, Captain Thunderbolt, Tony623, Al Captain 87, and Dal Porto Dev. Welcome to the Dragon Riders, everybody, and thank you so much.
Sweet. We are going to quickly move into the watching portion because we're already running incredibly behind, as we do.
Yes, we do. Cat and Ninja, thank you for gifting a sub to Sprinkles the Dragon Cat. You are all awesome, and thank you for sharing emotes as well, Cat and Ninja. You guys are awesome. I see that we just threw out the Geek Bomb links there in chat. So if you are not a Geek Bomber and you would like to be, click on that link. Check it out. Mod's got lots of awesome perks for the Geek Bomber community as well.
Just posted a photo shoot that I did with Zelda. Guys, it's really cute.
So cute. I love it. So cute.
Alrighty, what?
Okay, Mod, bring us into watching whenever you get a chance.
Sweet. We have come to the watching portion of Power. As we know, P is for playing, which we've already done. Watching, W, and then we'll do reading. But it's time to do watching with Wendy, which I love. It actually works so, so, so well. We have an amazing guest on for this week, and I know that for her job, she watches a ton of stuff. She has her very own YouTube channel, The Movie Couple, where she literally reviews movies. So, hey, Wendy Lee Zaney, who's on. Yay. What's up? Talk to us. You've been watching a bunch because of HBO Max. What's it called? Max Now?
Go. HBO Max.
Yeah, HBO Max just released a whole bunch of Miyazaki films. So I immediately was like, okay, let me go ahead and watch at least one of the Miyazaki films that I have never watched before. And that was Pompoko, which is the one that you see in the middle. With all the little raccoons. And it's just the cutest thing, because what made it interesting was the way we heard about Pompoko is like, hey, have you heard about this movie with transforming raccoons that have giant sacks? And I was like, giant sacks? And it's their parts. And they use it to, they expand
it. Oh, tanuki.
And they fly it. Yeah, a tanuki. And it's just so interesting because I was like, this just seemed like a very kind of targeted toward young audience. But I was very wrong to find out that these raccoons, the only reason why they're kind of trying to survive is because us as humans have overtaken their home and we're turning their forests into, you know, like apartments and like communities. And they were driving them further and further away from their homes where they're like, we have no place to live. We are going to die out. So they kind of got all their tribes together and like, we got to fight back. And we have to reclaim our land. And these tanukis kind of go on an adventure. And they first have to learn the art of transformation. to transform into the human, to kind of infiltrate the human world and learn a little bit more about that and try to kind of scare the humans out of their current living spaces to reclaim their land. And I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't seen it, but it goes down a really interesting path. And that's kind of what I love about Miyazaki films, that it always touches on a bit of like the environment and how much humans have like impacted the environment and how it's impacting nature. So that was kind of like a big takeaway from Miyazaki films.
I feel like we've seen a lot of that, like with Pocahontas, Fern Gully, Avatar as well. Like we're driving that message home, but is it really stopping, you know, deforestations, all of that fun stuff? I have a very, very upsetting confession. I have never seen a Miyazaki film ever. In 2012, I was dating a guy and I told him that, and he said that was unacceptable. So he bought me Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle, and I promised him I would watch it. And then I got my visa approved for America and I packed everything up and I left, and I have no idea what happened to those DVDs. I think now that HBO Max has got this, I need to get started. What is the number one movie that I should watch from Miyazaki?
I feel like a lot of people are going to say Spirited Away or Princess Mononoke. I think the first one for you, I would actually want to say Princess Mononoke, because it's very action packed and it's you know, a very, very strong female character. And again, it has a lot to do with kind of that Fern Gully Pocahontas thing where they're, you know, fighting against like the people that are changing the environment for the worst. But my very first venture, which is kind of what kicked off my love for Miyazaki, was actually not Totoro, which is very cute and way more kids friendly. But my grandfather, when he showed it to me, he's like, no, you're going to watch Nausicaa because it's got a strong female character and she's fighting for clean air, and because the air she lives in is very toxic and all these like creatures have turned against the humankind. And they're kind of like, they're scary, they're angry, they're terrible. And in reality, it's the environment and the toxic air that's kind of turning them into these, like, they're just kind of, in a sense, misunderstood. So that was the first one that he had me watch. But I would say Totoro, like, is universally loved. It's really adorable. It's about these two sisters having relocated to the countryside while their mother stays in a hospital, and she's trying to recover from the illness. And through their adventure in this new, I guess, new home that they have moved to, they encounter Totoro and his, you know, little fellow other Totoro, I don't know what you would call them, but it's super adorable. It's got a little bit of like fantastical magic touch to it, but not so much that you're so detached from the actual story.
Okay. The only one that I've ever seen, I think, was Spirited Away. I'm like, a little girl gets like lost in another world. She's not with her parents. There's a train involved.
Yeah.
Right?
That one's a really, really good one, where it's a little scary in the beginning too, because they explore this temple and this area, and where everything seemed normal and then all of a sudden people started turning into pigs.
Yes. Oy. That is definitely the one that I have seen.
Oi. It's funny though, because we had Will Haynes on as a guest last time, like 2 weeks ago, and he mentioned Nausicaa as well, saying that he'd, I think, recently seen it again, or it was something that was just absolutely inspiring him and he was obsessed with it. So that's two times in a month. Maybe I should start there.
Do it.
Okay, I'll do it now.
Do it now. we'll mail you some popcorn and some Goobers and some Nestle's Bunch of Crunch.
Like, just what a name. Why would you call it a goober? And a goober in Mario as well? Like, goobers?
No, that's a Goomba. There's also, bringing it back around, there's also a Tanuki suit in Mario.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's why I know what Tanukis are. From Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Not from anime.
I know what a cat, a fox, and a pig is, and I think a monkey, because of this Japanese song that I learned in high school, which is still so good, because it takes the last letter of the name, and that's the first sound of the other animal name. It's really cool.
Oh.
Maybe one time you can teach it to Logan, and he'll love it.
Cute. Okay.
Cool. I love it. So, Wendy, that's what you've been watching, and that's what you recommend for everybody, right?
I do. That's my top three picks for now. But I honestly, if any of the Miyazaki films, you just click on what they have in the HBO Max library, and I think you're in for a ride. And it's the animation is always absolutely gorgeous, and the story is always very unique and very original.
And now, if you can't find them on HBO Max because HBO Max doesn't like your Roku or your Amazon Fire Stick, where else might you be able to find them?
I believe you can rent them on Amazon as well. I actually didn't look that up, but because I own a lot of it physical. I like a lot of my media to be physical rather than digital. So I'm that hoarder that has all the DVDs and all the box sets because I need it in my life. It's like my Animal Crossing habits. It's like my life. I just need to collect them all, and then they sit there and collect dust because now I can just stream it. But I believe you can, you know, get it still on VOD or on Amazon Prime.
Awesome. Yay. Thank you for those recommendations. It is time for some Bombs Away Q&A, so we're going to bring Amy back in. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
What questions do you have for Wendy today?
So this one's from Patreon, but I will be getting one from Twitch as well, so send those in. This one's from Steven Summers, patreon.com/geekbomb. Where would you like to see the Star Wars movies specifically go in the future now that the main saga is over? Characters, places, storylines, what would you like to see?
I'm a huge Ahsoka Tano fan. I would love nothing more for an Ahsoka Tano standalone movie. I know there's been rumors about her appearance in The Mandalorian season 2, so maybe that will open the gates for various characters that we know from like the animated canon and stuff like that to kind of have their own movie. But I would also love something that's absolutely completely original and away from the Skywalker saga, like that whole line. We've seen the story. There's already 9 episodes. We've ended it. It's great. I would love us to do kind of like a, and if people kind of want to hold on to that, kind of what Avatar The Last Airbender did with The Legend of Korra, it's to kind of go like 100 years past what had happened in The Rise of Skywalker and go there. So you can kind of refer back to Rey and Finn and Poe and BB-8 and all these people to kind of, but not have them in the movie. And this was, so we still kind of feel like this is, you know, the same, there's still a bit of connective tissue, but it's still brand new story, brand new characters, new lightsabers, new regime, whatever it may be. That's what I would be, it's to get me excited for Star Wars again, because literally then we can't sit here and kind of fan theory to the point where we don't enjoy the movie, because it's kind of like we build in our head. Like, that's kind of like my issue with the Star Wars films is I want to see certain things play out so much in a certain way that I almost ruin my own experience watching these films instead of watching what the storytellers want to tell. So that's what I would want for a brand new Star Wars story. Super original, all new characters.
I have a feeling we're going to be talking so much more about Star Wars in Power Down, because I have the thought. All I'm going to say is Old Republic. I want to go back, and I want it to kind of be like X-Men in the sense that you've got one side fighting against the other side. And in the Old Republic, it wasn't the rule of two with Sith. It meant that there was an entire Sith army and there was an entire Jedi force. And they, you know, obviously not agree. So it's like good versus evil in that sense. And this is, I guess, with what I stumbled through with the Star Wars prequels a lot of the time was that it was so bogged down on the Trade Federation, you know, the trade structures and the political kind of like that side of things. And I think that this would completely strip that back. It wouldn't necessarily be about sort of like the Empire. It would be about these two forces. Ah, and they would build their lightsabers and they would harvest kyber crystals and it would be wonderful. What about you, Trish?
I would love to see more from the dark side. I want an entire film or an entire trilogy that just explores what the dark side really is, how the great Sith Lords came to power, what their stories are. I feel like we get so much focused on the light side of the Force. It's totally imbalanced. And like, so there's been a lot of books out there like Darth Plagueis and stuff like that, but let's actually get a film. Bring that to screen. I want to know about that.
So like Joker, but Sith.
But good.
But ooh, I like that burn.
Yeah.
I like that sick burn out of Amy.
Do we have a question from Twitch yet?
Hey, someone agreed with me. Hey. Thanks, SGS. Yeah, people are talking about, you know, like HBO Max comparing to Disney Plus. Like, how do you feel about both of those?
STS says, why isn't HBO Max as successful as Disney Plus? Is that the one that you're looking at, Amy?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, as a parent, I can tell you having the access to the entire Disney library for my kid is huge. And HBO Max definitely doesn't have that. I think also when you think of HBO Max, you're like, I don't know. Bless you. I think you're like, you know, I don't know by just hearing HBO Max exactly what library of content that is. Whereas when you hear Disney Plus, you're like, I know that's Marvel. I know that's Star Wars. I know that's every Disney film that I remember from my childhood. Like, you know exactly what you're getting. So I think it's kind of a no-brainer purchase. Whereas HBO has admittedly had some problems marketing exactly what HBO Go, HBO Now, HBO Max are and what they contain. And I think if they were a little bit more front-facing and kind of simplified in their marketing, they would be doing better.
Yeah, agreed with that. Because just like you said, Disney Plus has that built-in audience already, whether you're like a 90s kid growing up and you want to revisit all the Disney Channel movies and the shows, or if you've got kids at home and you want to put on, you know, the more kid-friendly stuff for them, that it's really easy. It's really on one place. And HBO, it's kind of like all the IPs are all over the place. It's like, now we get Miyazaki, which is great. And then it's like, oh, well, now we're getting Doom Patrol and Batwoman and this and that. And it's kind of like, well, it was just so confusing. And I remember trying to nail down exactly what, like, their library was. And I had a hard time, and especially after, I think it was like Big Little Lies, after I finished watching both season, I was kind of like, well, I really have... And the Game of Thrones, once that was over, I was like, well, what do I have to watch now? I think I'm kind of done.
Yeah, and actually, HBO Max has the entire Sesame Street library.
Ooh.
So, which is huge. But I wouldn't know that.
Content?
It's tons of content. But yeah, I wouldn't know that if I wasn't actively seeking it out, because I have a 3-year-old who's just the right age to start watching Sesame Street. So yeah, I think it all comes down to marketing.
Yeah,
it's been really lackluster for HBO Max, considering it's supposed to be massive, the price point higher because they're, you know, delivering more. But if we are sitting here and we can't even name 5 things, it's like, that's not a good sign. But they will have all the Harry Potters, so...
When is that supposed to happen? I hadn't heard that, Maud.
Yeah, don't know. But yeah. Good. Thanks for the chat and discussions, Twitch. That was really fun. But that was the watching component. We will be back for reading. So, guys, don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, during the break, want to say welcome to Miss Maeve for the follow. And check out Geek Bomb if you haven't already, guys. And then we will pop ourselves into reading. Give me just 1 second to swap something out. Okay. And yeah, we are good to go. I'm good whenever you are, Ma. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Nah.
In the break?
I just want to talk about Star Wars more, but yeah, I'll do that after the show. Oh, yeah. I haven't spoken about Star Wars in a hot second. Nah, good to go into reading.
Okay, let's do it. Bring us in.
Welcome to the reading portion of Power Up. Sup, my name is Maud Garrett, joined by Trisha Hirschberger. We have done playing. We have already done watching. It is time for reading. And Trisha and I shared what we were doing last week for the month of June, so you can check that episode out. But this particular episode, we have a guest. Guys, please welcome back. Her name is Wendy Lee Zaney, and she's telling us about what she's reading at the moment. How much are you reading now that we're in lockdown? Are you, like, reading more, would you say, Wens?
I thought I would be reading more, and I tried at the beginning, and apparently I have a very short attention span, and maybe just, like, reading words on a book makes me tired, because I always, like, end up napping, and I'm like, what happened? What happened? I have to do Audible. I can't do the reading. I don't know what happened.
Same. So, Wendy, let me ask you this, because I have the exact same problem. And I hypothesize that it's from growing up reading books before I went to bed as a kid. So I have like an association of like reading means it's time to power down and go to bed now. And I think that's carried with me into my life as an adult. Did you do that as a kid?
100%. I would read until I fell asleep. And so I guess now as an adult, I'm just kind of like, you don't even need like a sleep aid if you want. You're just kind of like, open. Okay, good night.
Yeah.
In two sentences and I'm done. It
puts you out. Yeah. It's like super, what is it? It's like almost melatonin. It's.
Yeah.
I get it. Your body's tired. But also like I'm struggling to read. Like I have to get in the zone. Like I'll be reading the page, my mind wanders. I pick up my phone 3 times and I'm like, what are you doing? Like read. And then as soon as I kind of get a couple of pages in, I'm in that book and I can sit there for like a little while into that before I'm like, oh, that's right. I have a phone, which is so bad, which is why I really like Audible as well. But let's chat about the book that you have been reading lately. Suzanne Collins, obviously this is a part of the Hunger Games franchises, but this one is the prequel exploring Snow, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us all about this.
Yeah, this is interesting. It is a prequel and it's set prior to what we saw in Katniss. So Cornelius Snow is not present as Snow yet. He was like, I think just barely 18 or is 18. And he has basically been chosen to become a mentor for one of the tributes in the upcoming. And this is for the 10th Hunger Game. And Snow's name, his family name still means something, kind of like, you know, you recognize that name. You're like, oh, the Snow family. You know, Cornelius Snow, but at the same time, his family has lost its wealth, and I think very few people know about it. So it's kind of one of the things that he keeps very hush-hush. And at the very beginning of this, when I first heard that they were coming out with a Hunger Games book, I was like, yes, another one. We're going to see, I don't know, another character, new story, whatever. And I was kind of bummed, honestly, when I first found out it was going to be about President Snow, because I hated him. Right. With the reason, he is a great villain.
But that's the thing, he's an antagonist. So to explore more about them, you're like, I don't want to know how he's brought up, which is an interesting point because we were just talking about Star Wars with watching. And Trisha, you were saying that you wanted to know more about the dark side. So this is kind of Hunger Games version of that. Now that you know more about Cornelius and he's 18 and it's young and it's sort of like an origin story, did you like the character more and did it make the Hunger Games better?
I'm not quite done yet. I'm still exploring, but it has kind of made me rethink my original thought of like, we don't need an origin story on why the villain is misunderstood. Like, I hate that so much when they try to go back. They're like, they were just misunderstood. And I was like, no, they're bad. They're bad people. Look how bad they were. They killed a bunch of people in Hunger Games. Yeah. And it drives me bananas. But with him, you kind of, you know, with the fact that his family isn't wealthy, that the fact that he does struggle a little bit, and the fact that he is paired up with a tribute from District 12, and that's as far as like spoilers I'll go for you, is that it's kind of interesting to see how that kind of plays into his life so early before he meets Katniss Everdeen. So that's who's really interesting to kind of go back and forth, huh?
Who's also from District 12, right?
Yes, yes. So that's there's a little bit of a parallel. And the Cornelius Snow that we know in this book is quite different, but you kind of see how he gets where he is. Like, they really lay it out for you. And the book became a lot more interesting once you got paired up with that tribute. And you start seeing all the parallels, and you start seeing probably why he falls into some of the decisions he makes and why he took such an interest in Katniss Everdeen.
Okay. And what was the state of, and if this is a spoiler, tell me to shut up, but what was the state of District 12 like then? I'm guessing that it got more sort of like, not degenerate, but you know what I mean? Like dilapidated and more worse off. And I have a feeling like there's a story with the evolution of District 12 or the devolution of District 12. Is that the case?
Yeah, they explore very little in it. And basically we jump into, this is after the war and the rebellion has fallen. And the reason why the Hunger Games exists, it's to kind of like punish those who rebelled against like the Capitol and things like that. And they haven't gone too much where I am now into where the state of District 12 is, but I would say it's just a little bit slightly better than where we see Katniss's version of District 12 in the first Hunger Games book or movie. So I'm pretty sure once the Hunger Games took off after this 10th one, it just progressively gets worse and worse and worse.
Now, yeah, right. Wendy, I want to probe a little bit into you saying you hate the misunderstood villain storyline prequel thing, because Maude's right, that is exactly what I said I wanted for Star Wars. For me, being someone who's a huge fan of like Game of Thrones-esque dark fantasy, I think that there is both heroic qualities and evil qualities in every person. If we're going to take it away from like the fantasy page and look at it, yep, there it is, Maude. We just saw Maude's My Precious moment right there. RIP Sir Ian Holm. You did it beautifully. I know. But I love seeing that. When you, I don't know if you've ever heard in like an acting class or anything that everyone is the hero of their own story. And that's how you should approach acting, playing any kind of villain, is you are certainly the hero of your own story, and you have to believe that wholeheartedly to play that villain believably. So I always find it fascinating to see what the motivations are of these villains to kind of take them out of that 2D, you're just a bad dude character or a bad lady character, and figure out what makes them tick. I think it's fascinating. But you said you hate hearing that.
Well, I'm kind of waiting on one.
Huh?
I'm kind of with Wendy on that one, because I feel like, you know, a lot of the time if you're a bad person, it's because that's what you've learned. Like, you are being taught bad things, and so that's what you do. And that's why there is a cycle of abuse. And, like, you know, if to get the psychological side of it down, that's how it happens. You kind of behave because that's, like, you behave badly because that's all you've seen and all you know. But I think that there gets a time when you, in your adult life, where you actually get outside of that bubble and you learn more, and then that's when a choice arrives. And you have a choice to either become in that, like, to pursue that cycle of abuse and to kind of, like, you know, well, I had it happen to me, therefore I get to do it to other people. And that's, like, their level of catharsis. But there's also a decision where you're like, look, I could do that and I could go down that bad path, but that is a choice that I don't want to make. And I want to learn that that is not who I am, and I want to be good. So I think I understand, and I'm teaming up with Wendy in the side where it's like, oh, they're just misunderstood. It's like, no, it is a choice at the end of the day. It is a choice to be bad, and you can have a shit life handed to you, but it, and that's really, really tough, and it's more likely that it's going to be harder to not be good, but it's still a choice.
Well, yeah. And that's if the villain's story is, I've learned this thing because I've seen it over and over. But you can give a villain a very good story. I mean, I don't know if either of you are playing The Last of Us 2 right now. I'm not going to go into it. But I feel like in that they're doing so far a good job of showing us the motivations on both sides and why those things happen. And I think when we can start to open our minds and empathize with people that have different opinions and think different ways of getting there, that's what kind of helps us understand things like real world politics. And yeah. Stuff like that.
Both sides really think that they're right.
Right, exactly. But that's what I'm like, you know, fiction can help us, I think, start to figure out how to apply those lessons to the real world. I do think there definitely is some value in saying, you know, in a fictional universe, like, no, that person's bad. They just should have wisened up. But that's not reality. Reality gets ugly sometimes. So I like that being reflected in my fiction.
And you know what I'm taking away from this? These conversations happen when you read books. So everyone should be reading more books.
Pick up a book or grab an audio, Audible.
Yeah.
I'm totally adding this to my Audible wish list, by the way. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah, you got it. You'll like it.
Is the narrator good?
Yeah. Yeah. I like it when they fully, like, kind of can invest in a character's voice, and they also play various genders really well. It's kind of like, it's not so much a caricature. It's just like the best they can do. And it doesn't take you out of the story. And this guy kind of does like a different kind of rhythm of speaking for a different character, which I love.
Oh, okay. That's really cool. All right. It's time to do a Bombs Away Q&A. So Amy, you're coming in here with some questions from not only Geek Bombs Patreon, but you're also going to get one from the live Twitch chat to get those questions in. What's this question that you got for Wendy?
This one's from Jeff Lambert. Would you rather have superpowers for your whole life, but you forget about them each night and have to rediscover them each day, or have superpowers the same day each week, but you know about them?
I wouldn't. The first choice is a big no for me. I would not want to discover a new one every day. That would spend my entire day being freaked out and huddled in a corner, like shaking myself back and forth because I don't know what is happening to me. So I would pick the second choice. Can you say the second one again?
Mm-hmm. Have superpowers the same day each week, and you know about them.
Magic Mondays, let's go!
Hey! Oh my God. Every hump day is a superhero day. I put on my cape, I go about my business. It's great. Put it in my planner.
And then it's Thursday, and you're like, all right, listen here, you're going to be in real big trouble in 6 days, mister.
You come back here next Thursday. Yeah. I'll be here too, but not this me, the other me.
Yes, just another Magic Monday. Love it.
This next one is from STS2884. Who is the most tragic movie villain you can think of?
Most tragic? Oh, Gollum. I don't know if I want to call him a villain, though.
Yeah, he is. I think so.
Debatable on the villain, but yeah, good answer.
That's a really good answer, because it is heart. It's heartbreaking. Yeah.
I cried. He's
obsessed that nothing else matters and his whole life's purpose.
Yeah.
Is one thing. Oh, yeah. Kind of dangerous obsession is pretty tragic. What other ones?
Magic manipulation. Really? Gollum is a good answer. Yeah, everyone in chat is like, Gollum's a good answer.
Oh, I remember him sinking into that lava and I was like, no.
But it was necessary to save Middle-earth.
Anakin Skywalker is a bit stupid in the sense where he turned to the dark side to save the one person he loved, but it killed her anyway. And you're like,
idiot.
Yeah, someone said in Twitch chat earlier when we were talking about this, and I thought it was really good. They said, Nathan said, the best villains have good motivations, but the wrong methods.
Yeah.
And I think that's a story that we hear a lot.
Yes. I've noticed a lot of the time villains have the greater good sort of mentality where it's like, oh, I have to wipe out half the population, but it's so that we can grow and be stronger. So it's like the greater good.
Oh, Thanos. Yeah, Thanos is a great one.
Yeah. So it's like he truly believes that what he's doing is good. But, I mean, it's the same time. It's like great storytelling is, do you allow thousands of people to die so that you can save the one person that you love, or do you sacrifice that one person that you love so you can save thousands? And it's like it's the connection that you have with the person who could die that really is the driving force behind things. Because when you think about it, to save one person, even if it's a son or a brother or a, you know, immediate family member or a loved one, but you let another 1,000 people die, you're no better off than Thanos.
Yeah. Theory F2104 says Severus Snape.
Fuck off, incel. Severus Snape for me. I explored it in book club for Nerdist, and to break down that character where initially I wept like a baby when he was like, you know, have you ever stopped loving him? Always, all that kind of stuff. And when Harry called his son Albus Severus, I wept like a baby. But then we broke it down where it's like, again, his obsession was consuming. And his obsession was with Lily, a girl that he was in love with who never loved him back, but he couldn't let it go. So he stayed at the school. He never remarried. He didn't marry. He didn't fall in love. He didn't leave that one emotion. And it's kind of incel based, where he was like, I wanted her, I didn't get her, James got her, therefore I destroyed James and I hate him and I hate Harry because he reminds me of James. And it's like, nah, sweet, you gotta move on. You've gotta leave your past in the past and you have to get on with your life. And he didn't.
Snape just needed a motivational talking to from you, Maude.
That was it.
That was Snape.
That was so good.
I've had a lot of time thinking about
this. I love it.
Thanks, great question though. Totally took
it. Yeah, thank you so much everybody for your questions. So that was we had our bombs away, our geek bomber question, we had our Twitch question. You guys are awesome. Amy, thank you so much for the questions. And Wendy, thank you so much for coming and telling us what you're playing and watching and reading. If you have time, we would love it if you could join us for Power Down.
Oh, I'm totally here to Power Down. That sounds like I've had so much fun. It's been, because of quarantine, it's been so long since I've just had like contact with people. And it's been forever since I've literally seen each and every single one of you. I think Amy I saw in February, and I know I saw Maude and Trish beginning of March?
The Mulan premiere, beginning of March.
Yeah, and that was it.
I know. Hopefully it'll get better soon, but not a day before, and we'll have to wait for that one. There is a comment, though, that I think we would be fun bringing up in Power Down. And that is from Adrios saying, same Maude, but when you look at his history, didn't he make friends with wizard Nazis and called her a wizard slur? That is a really great point as well. This is not a good man. And we'll discuss some Harry Potter and some Star Wars in Power Down. And probably just a little, you know, a fun little catch up as well.
And Maude, can you just tell people what Power Down is, since it's relatively new thing and people might not have heard of it?
It is. I think we've only released 2 episodes of Power Down. It's kind of like the after show that we do. It's for $10 and higher backers on Geek Bomb's Patreon. It's supposed to be a 15-minute of all of us just chatting and shooting the shit, but excuse me. But it's sometimes it goes for a little bit longer, but it's the kind of stuff that we are talking about that we might not necessarily want published on YouTube forever. So it's a more personal conversation. We've previously spoken about politics, losing friends, me being crazy with an ex-boyfriend, you know, all those fun things that might not necessarily fall under the Power umbrella, but it's also the questions that you guys asked that we didn't get to break down during the show. So that's what Power Down is for.
Perfect. So folks, if you want to tune into that, Geek Bomb socials are in chat. You can find everything there. Wendy, thank you for saying you'll join us for Power Down today. That'll be fun. Amy's there as always. So we are going to sign off for the Power Up portion of the show now. Thank you so much to everybody who was here. Let me see real quick. I know we had a bunch of stuff in chat, so thank you. Dun, 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 dun. Let me look real quick. That's why I got all messed up. Okay, Catnip Ninja gifted a sub to Sprinkles the Dragon Cat. That's where we left off, I think, and Miss Mev followed. Thank you. Exuvia gifted 5 subs on the channel. Thank you so very much, Exuvia, and welcome to the Dragon Riders, everybody. And SideQuest raided us. We got a raid. Thank you. I know that was 11 minutes ago, so we'll see if any of the SideQuest folks are still hanging out watching the show. If you are, thank you so much and welcome. Sorry we didn't do a verbal shout-out earlier because we're recording this as a podcast, too, so we have notifications turned off. But thank you and welcome. SideQuest is a channel that I got to guest on their show Second Breakfast with Sage. If anyone tuned into that, that is SideQuest. Go give them a follow. They're awesome human beings. And here I'll put out a... SideQuest shout out in chat right now. Yay! Adriosa says SideQuest is rad. They literally brightened my day with their shenanigans. That's wonderful. Tharpy23 resubbed for a second month. Thank you so much and welcome back. And Adriosa gave us a follow. So anyone who is here, thank you so very much for being here today. Thank you for watching Power Up. We are officially going to end the stream. And before we do, let me just see if I can find a great place to raid. We'll pay it forward from the side quest raid
Becca
today.
Scott is gaming. She's playing Magic the Gathering at the moment.
Who's on?
The Becca Scott.
Oh, Becca's on.
Yeah,
there she is. So we're going to go ahead and raid Becca, y'all. Let's do that now. If you don't know Becca Scott, she is a lovely human being. She does a lot of hosting for Wizards of the Coast Magic the Gathering, and that's what she is currently playing. So, especially if you're a Magic fan, go check it out and send her some love from all of us on the Power Up team.
Geek Bomb's got a Discord, and Trisha's got a Discord as well. The link to join Geek Bomb's is in the chat, too. Make sure you join Trisha's because we'll give you notifications of when we go live and cool show stuff, too.
Okay, everybody tell Becca we said hello. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And I will talk to everybody soon, okay? Bye, guys. Bye.